Welcome back to a magical podcast, funky listeners. Magical podcast called Funk Radio.
This is your magical dreamboat. Yeah.
Neither one of us got our names out.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, wait, who did Peter say Peter?
Okay, well now I'll say Peter. So
we should switch roles. You can be Kyle, I'll be Peter.
Role play.
Not just for the bedroom, kids.
Also for your ear holes. So I'm Peter, and that's Kyle.
Hi.
Just to be clear.
I want to be Peter. Yeah.
Always get to be Kyle.
I know. So, Kyle, what are we talking about this time?
Oh, gosh. Well, before we get started with the topic for today, I wanted to thank our listeners for good amount of success we've had on our SoundCloud and iTunes lately.
Yay.
I checked recently and our iTunes downloads is up to 1,400, which is pretty fantastic. Also considering that we haven't really been on iTunes for the last like 2 years because of some technical difficulties where they wouldn't let us post stuff on there anymore. Mm-hmm. But thanks to our SoundCloud account, we can put it on there again and the numbers have been pretty sweet. I also want to point out that our listens and downloads for our most previous episode, the one about butts, in some cases, it's already done better than the past two episodes before it in nice. Much less time.
Probably because it has the word butts in it.
Yeah. So as much as we were joking about like how that was a dumb topic, I think it has.
I think butts speak to people.
That's true.
Well, what probably happens is they type into Google funky butts, but then they realize that they have safe search on, so they're not getting porn, they're just getting us.
So we're kind of like a replacement for porn then?
Yeah, basically the only thing above us in Google searches is porn, so thus if you turn on safe search, we're the top. I'm not sure
what funky butts it actually bring up, but you listeners can tell us on Facebook. So anyway, I just wanted to interject that little thing before we get started. So thanks, listeners, for supporting us through your listening.
We love you.
We do. The next step is for you listeners to support us with money.
We love you. Give us money.
Just kidding.
See, all we have to do is become like those televangelist people and be like, praise Jesus, give us money. Lord Jesus, baby Jesus. And then we'll have like little old ladies sending us envelopes full of cash and we'll be in the green. Pun intended.
Well, spoilers for our plans in the future, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to start a funky church.
But what are our plans for the present, Kyle?
Our plans for the present is we want to do an album review because we haven't done that in a while. Yay!
Hooray. We did a movie review 2 episodes ago.
That was pretty dope.
Of The Wiz.
Yeah, we're trying to sprinkle in some more exactly like that, like media reviews of sorts, because we kind of been dropping the ball on that a little bit. Just because, I mean, in our particular genre, we very rarely even stumble across new stuff that comes out, you know, that is noteworthy. But
it's not like a genre like hip-hop, for example, where like there's like 1,000 new albums every month.
Week. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I did stumble across one artist I think I was just browsing through Amazon or something, and he popped up as like one of the best-selling LPs, on Amazon, and I was like, oh, let me check him out. And this guy is like super soul dude, sounds like some sort of like baby love fest between Sam Cooke and Otis Redding, mm-hmm. And this guy's album just came out end of June, June 24th.
So what is this guy's name?
I'm not going to tell you. That's the whole point. I'm building it up. God damn, Peter.
Sorry.
You don't know the art of showmanship.
Apparently I don't.
It's okay. I still love you. You can be my you can be like the Penn and Teller assistant. You can be a teller. You don't talk. Kidding. I love you.
Fair enough. No,
I'm effing with you. So yeah, this guy. His name is Leon Bridges, which is cool name. He is a 25-year-old kid from Fort Worth who came out with his first album I guess, freshman album, as you would call it, through Columbia Records just this past June, and it is a super, super soulful album that's actually jumping up the charts pretty quickly. Last I checked, it was number 6 on the U.S. album charts.
Nice.
Which is pretty dope.
And that album is called Coming Home.
Yes.
I can't believe he's 25. Holy crap.
Right?
That means he's our age, and he's way up there on the charts, and we're
nothing.
We're coming up in porn searches on Google.
Hey, to each their own. Gotta start somewhere. See, we're doing it backwards. Most like artists become famous and then fall from grace and end up doing porn. We're starting off doing porn and then flipping, becoming famous. That's totally how that works, right? But yeah, so this Leon Bridges guy, he's from Texas, and I guess because, you know, now we're tracking streaming music as well as actual physical music sales, on top of being, you know, number 6 in album sales, he also was in the top 10 most viral track on Spotify. I don't know how you quantify that, but I assume it's based on
probably, I guess, the most number of plays in a given amount of time.
Like number of streams within a certain period so that it's quote-unquote gone viral because, you know, super fast.
And which song was that? Which song was that?
That particular song was the title song, Coming Home.
Okay.
The thing I like about the album, I guess, as a whole, is it's short. It's only 10 songs. The songs themselves are fairly short, you know, because soulful songs are always kind of short.
Yeah, actually, the album is 34 minutes long.
Yeah. And they're all a very obvious homage to the greats like Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye, but they all kind of have a little bit, I wouldn't say they all have a different sound, but there's enough variance in there that it's not all just early 60s doo-wop crooner. There's some that have a bit faster paced or some that are slower.
Mm-hmm.
The title song, Coming Home, is obviously by far the most popular track on the album. I would probably say it's the best track, personally. I mean, if you pop over on YouTube and watch the video, I think it has like 12 million views or something. I don't know. I'm bad at math.
Well, it's not math as much as just reading.
I'm bad at going on YouTube. Oh, come on, internets. Oh, I was way off. 2.6 million views, which is still decent.
That's a lot. Well, it's more views than we get.
Yeah, exactly. He's more famous than us. I'm jealous, man. So,
I don't know if it's my favorite song. I mean, it probably could be. I mean, it's definitely my top three.
I like that, but the one that might edge it out for me is the song Better Man. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less popular, but I just really, really like the lyrics to it, and it's all about just him wanting to be a good man for his girlfriend, spouse, whatever, which is something you don't really hear a lot in music today. It's all about, like, slap them hoes in the ass. Instead of like, no, I'm going to be a good boyfriend.
Not even good, but better.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a question. Did we want to go through... Since there are only 10 songs...
We could probably pop through
them
all.
We probably could just go through them all, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to go through, we could just start from Coming Home, which we already just mentioned.
That is the first song on the album as well, so that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to say about this one?
I don't know. I mean, I understand why it's the most popular song on the album, just because, I don't know, it seems like the most, I don't want to say put together, but it seems like the most constructed. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, there's backing singers, there's reverb, there's all the checkboxes of, you know, early 60s to mid 60s R&B, but it's still... I don't know. I like it, but it wasn't my favorite. And which is funny because this was actually the first song that I heard when I went to go research who this guy was. Mm. I'm like, oh shit, this is awesome. But then in going through, there was other songs I liked better.
Mm. You know, if we were going to get into a genre discussion, we don't necessarily have to for more than a minute or so, but I felt that this song, even possibly more so than the others, or just kind of speaking about the album in general, I felt that this felt a little bit more doo-woppy than soulful. Yeah. I think this song in particular, maybe just this one.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
And I know, I don't know if I can say with words the most accurate description of, you know, how to differentiate the two.
Yeah, between doo-wop and soul. Doo-wop seems more... I mean, unfortunately, for in this instance, doo-wop usually is like harmonious crooning, you know, multiple guys, whatever, which isn't happening in this case, but I think that kind of essence is reproduced by the overuse of, not overuse, but the use of reverb in certain songs to kind of make it sound like it's multiple people singing. So this one definitely has a lot of that.
And it does have like the backing singers.
And I think it's that kind of slow do, you know, that slow beat that a lot of like late 50s, early 60s doo-wop songs have.
Yeah.
So I think the pace kind of sets that tone a lot too.
That's true. Should we play a short clip from Coming Home?
I think we should.
The song after that in the album, Better Man, we already kind of started talking about that one a bit. Kai, you were saying that lyrically you seem to like this one a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I didn't like about this song is, on this particular song, more so than most, he's kind of promising this love, you know, this girl that basically, I assume, left him, that he's going to be a better man for her. And because of that, you'd think there'd be a lot of emotion to him wanting to get this girl back. Like, even in a part of the song, he says, "Oh, I'll swim the Mississippi River to get you back." It seems like stuff like that, there should be just a smidge more emotion put into it. I mean, when you hear guys like Sam Cooke and Otis Redding, they're putting every absolute ounce of emotion into everything they sing, and it's fairly obvious. This one, it seems like he's close, but not 100% there. I don't know. I don't know if it's because maybe he didn't write it himself. Maybe he did. Maybe, you know, he never lost a girl, so it's hard to find that emotion.
I don't know. I think I'd have to listen to it again. Because, you know, listening through this album and that song, though, basically just one time over, although I think I have heard some of these songs a couple of times, it didn't really ever occur to me that he wasn't as emotional as he could be. So I would have to listen to it again before I could comment on that. But you said that you've kind of heard that same idea from other sources.
Yeah, I've just been popping through a couple of reviews. It seems like some of the reviewers had similar sentiment, so.
On just that song, or in, like, overall?
Mostly on that song, but other songs in general, it just seems like it's a great homage to the genre that a lot of people see, but they don't see a lot of himself in it, if that makes any sense. Like, there's like, it's like, oh, it's Leon Bridges doing Sam Cooke, not Leon Bridges doing Soul with a bit of Leon Bridges in it.
Interesting. I mean, I will say, like, from an overall perspective, like, this album does a really good job of sounding like authentic. Kind of like that 60s soul sound.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't sound forced. It doesn't sound fake.
Well, it doesn't even necessarily sound like a 2015 soul album. You know,
no,
I mean, it's maybe a little bit more cleaned up than older stuff, but not. It doesn't sound like a lot more polished, you know, than that original material. So I do give him credit for making something that sounds pretty authentic. In terms of the classical doo-wop soul sound.
True.
But whether or not that's himself or just replicating the style of other people, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why don't we listen to a short clip of Better Man really quick?
Okay.
Just so our listeners can hear it.
What can I do to get back to your heart? Mississippi River, if you would give me another start, girl.
And after Better Man, the third track is called Brown Skin Girl.
I like the song a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, so funny thing that I found about this is one thing to note is that this kind of small resurgence of R&B and, like, you know, other record labels like that we've talked about before, like Daptone, have primarily become popular with middle, I shouldn't say middle age, but like 20s to 40s white people. Because white people are like, oh, R&B, I love that stuff. So it's not really resonating as much with the black community as it is with the white community right now. And there's a funny comment.
Sorry. Wait, this song? Or
I'm sorry. I'm just talking this album and kind of the small resurgence of R&B in general. Not R&B like...
Yeah,
not R&B like Beyonce R&B, but like the kind of resurgence of nostalgic R&B.
Okay.
Like retro R&B, I guess would be the best way to put it. But what's funny is Bridges himself kind of comments on this phenomenon in an interview because he has the song called Brown Skin Girl. And in concerts, he'll ask, like, where are my brown skin girls at? And he's like, there's maybe one or two of them in the crowd.
Oh, wow.
He says, quote, it's a little awkward sometimes.
I wouldn't have expected that. That's funny.
So, because his music is kind of becoming more popular with nostalgic white folk, it's kind of, I guess, ironic that he's calling out, you know, minorities, I guess. I don't know.
That's funny, because I was thinking while I was listening to this album, like, this is probably, it's funny to see kind of this resurgence of the soul sound these days, but I feel like it's not going to hit the mainstream as much as just be popular with, like, hipsters. Basically.
Exactly.
And that's kind of in line with what you were just describing.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that's kind of the sad thing is like this nostalgia for old 60s music or whatever seems to be primarily a white yuppie hipster thing. So,
I mean, I won't complain because I really enjoy that we're getting some of this newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess that's kind of a funny point that it's not really reaching out. It's not capturing
Audiences.
The black audience as much as at least personally I would have thought.
Probably because unlike white people, maybe a black people hear this and be like, oh, this is my, you know, this is my dad's music or this is my grandpa's music. So to them, more so than white people, it's like it's very much the music of an older generation where they're always like wanting to move forward. Whereas, you know, hipster white people, they got, you know, they like to listen to things that are different or obscure. And what's more obscure than, you know, 60s soul music.
I feel like that was such a commentary on this show.
On us, yes. Yeah. A little bit.
Why don't we listen to a quick clip of Brown Skin Girl, and then we'll... I want to make another one or two comments about it.
Okay.
Brown skin girl stare with the brown eyes. Ooh, baby, don't you know you're a cute.
A couple notes I wrote down about this song. One, this one in particular reminds me a lot of Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
In particular, I felt that the arrangement of this song felt pretty similar to his song "Sad Mood." There's a couple other cases in this album where I actually wrote down where it sounds similar to an actual.
Oh, that's good because I was actually trying to think of what songs these sounded similar to, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't rack my brain enough.
And you already mentioned Sam Cooke once or twice, but I felt that he was really one of the singers that Leon Bridges captures.
Oh, yeah.
In his style on this album. I also wanted to, I wanted to bring this up. Is the name Brown Skin Girl, is that a response to the song Blue Eyed Girl by Van Morrison?
I have no idea.
And kind of, I guess, linked to that idea is the fact that the lyrics are kind of, I found it kind of refreshing that he's talking about a girl who he likes, but not in like a sexual context.
Yeah.
It's not like I met this girl at the club. She was grinding her ass. Like it was like, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so much of music today is like that. And I kind of felt it refreshing that it was kind of like a more simplistic, innocent version of that. And to sing about a girl in that context, I felt it was kind of a nice reversal from a song such as Blue Eyed Girl. Because Blue Eyed Girl, obviously, that means she's white.
Yeah.
Where in this one, it's Brown Skin Girls, obviously, it's the opposite. But to see kind of like a positive, non-sexualized representation of that for a brown skin girl, I felt that was kind of a...
Yeah, I agree. It's funny when you mentioned the club grinding thing, because I was just thinking right after that, I'm like, oh my god, in like 2 years, songs are going to be like, I saw that girl on Tinder and I swapped that shit left. You know, or right, or I don't know which one means you like them.
I mean, I'm surprised that isn't a thing now.
Yeah, right?
To be honest.
It's like, oh, that girl's Instagram photo, it's so hot, I swiped that shit right. Like, that's where we're heading for love songs.
Oh, jeez. So, the fourth song, Smooth Sailing. This,
I love this
might
song.
Be my favorite song on the album.
I like it because it's much faster paced than most of the stuff, I've noticed.
It also stuck out to me, not only because of the tempo, but also, like, what genre would you say this song is? Because it felt a little bit different to me. It didn't quite feel like straight up, like, retro soul or whatever. It felt a little bit different from that, and maybe that's part of the reason why I liked it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure how to explain it. It just sounds a little bit kind of a shift away from that.
It does. I agree. I don't know what genre I would call it, but it kind of seems like, I don't know, how do I say it? It's like some of that new funky stuff you're hearing, like Uptown Funk, how it's a bit more fast-paced. It seems like, I don't know, it's aiming more for like the danceable crowd. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe don't know our listeners can listen really quick and see what they think.
Yeah. Said I like the way, said I like the way, you sail your ship now, let me be your cargo. I won't wear you down, no honey, I won't wear you down.
Again, that was called Smooth Sailing. I don't really have anything else written down for this other than I really liked it. And yeah, that kind of genre thing, but I don't know. How about you? Anything else?
Nothing really. I mean, I don't know. I agree with you. I liked it a lot. And to note, there's also a music video for this one. I like it.
That's cool. You listeners should check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, even in the comments I'm going through on YouTube, everyone's just like, oh my god, it's, you know, it's Sam Cooke incarnate.
That's funny.
Yeah, pretty much.
So track 5, I'm kind of just moving along here. Track 5 is called Shine.
This one didn't leave a massive impression on me.
No, although I will note it's one of two songs on this album that felt really gospel-y to me.
Yes. Agreed. Very, very much agreed.
Because it's got kind of like the slow organ. There isn't a whole lot of other instruments other than that. There's like the choir in the background. The lyrics are basically a prayer.
Pretty much.
More or less. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely gospel inspired.
And that's what's cool is, as I was saying earlier on with this album, it's like, it is R&B, but the different songs are obviously take inspiration from different subsets of R&B, doo-wop, gospel, straight soul.
It isn't just one thing. It kind of jumps around a little bit, but it still feels very homogenous, even within those little variations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth noting, too, that we've said this, that gospel was a precursor to soul music as well.
Mm.
So I felt that that's kind of cool. He's kind of going back and forth a little bit. Should we let our listeners hear a little bit of Shine?
Okay. Please remove my transgressions. Let them blow
in the wind like sand. So tracks 6 and 7, Lisa Sawyer and Flowers. Did you have anything noted on those? I didn't write anything down for those.
The only thing I wanted to say about Lisa Sawyer is this one, I think, has a little bit more emotion to it than most, only because it's actually written about his own mom, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that makes... Okay.
Does the song make more sense to you now?
I didn't know that, but now that I know that, it makes more sense, yeah.
I mean, it's very much a ballad for his mother, which kind of, you know, allows him to put more personal feeling into it than some songs, which I kind of took. But so I thought it was a sweet song. I mean, it wasn't
my
favorite, but it's a sweet song about your mom.
I enjoyed it. I just didn't have anything like special to say about it, but that's interesting. I didn't know what it was about his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to it quick, blah, blah, blah. Listen to it. Branded with the name Lisa Sawyer. One more thing I'm actually noticing, because I have the Spotify page open.
Yeah.
For this album. And if you listeners want, you can listen to the album on Spotify if you want, obviously. Because we already mentioned it was pretty popular there. It says copyright 2015, Lisa Sawyer 63 Inc. So I guess he named, not the label, but whatever it was that put the album together.
Mm-hmm.
Under exclusive license to Columbia Records.
Huh.
He named it Lisa Sawyer 6, so I guess that's also named after his mom.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's interesting. Cute. 63 might have been the year she was born. Because when I think of like the age of my parents,
I was gonna say
and being
the
same
sense.
Age as him,
that would make sense.
That works out. So interesting.
That's cute.
So that was track 6. Track 7 is called Flowers. What do you think about this one?
Not super. Very much kind of 50s like Twist and Shout kind of dancey, you know?
Mm.
It's funny because he has another song called Twistin'.
I actually did feel that yeah, I didn't write this down, but I remember thinking this, that it did feel a little bit like almost like classic rock and roll-ish.
Like Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry type stuff, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Not entirely, but it definitely was going in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. It's like there's a little bit of Chuck Berry in there. I like that, though. Which is accurate because he actually plays guitar, so.
Mm.
So I assume he gets a bit of inspiration from, you know, the old guitar players like Chuck Berry and Little Richard and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, good song, just not, you know, in the top five.
Yeah, I will say there were no songs on this album that I didn't like. And that's actually really rare for me personally. Yeah. But just like like I said, a couple of these, I didn't really have anything much to say about them.
Same here. It's like I can listen to the whole damn album like over and over because I like every song and it just has a good overall feel. It kind of, you know, if that's what you're looking for.
Mm.
But there's a couple songs where it's just like, I don't even remember the name of them until you are like, oh yeah, that song.
Yeah. Why don't we grace our listeners with a tiny piece of Flowers?
Okay.
Flower of the field, here today, yeah, vanish in the wind.
Three more tracks on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Pull Away. What did you think about this one?
Very much crooning. Very much Sam Cooke, like others, but mm-hmm. Trying to think, not Sam Cooke, but
I wrote down that this one reminded me a lot of Solomon Burke.
Yes, thank you. I was gonna say I'm gonna space. Who's the guy that did In the Jungle? Ben something.
I don't know what you're referring to, sir.
Ben. I don't know. I'm like having a stroke here or something. I'm like totally spacing on this major artist.
Well, that might come to you before we end the show.
Probably.
Possibly. Like I was saying, this one reminded me a bit of Solomon Burke. Not his voice, necessarily, but just the singing style in general. I felt like the way he sings, not the way he sounds, but the style of his singing I felt was similar to Solomon Burke. And then I wrote that this song had a similar arrangement to Goodbye Baby. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but that's...
Who's that?
By Solomon Burke. That's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, as soon as this one started playing, I was like, oh, man, it sounds a lot like this other song.
Yeah, and I totally did have a stroke. I was thinking of Benny King and Stand By Me.
Okay.
I don't know. I got a bit of that vibe, too.
So who sang In the Jungle?
I don't fucking know where I came up with that from.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it's a common theme throughout the whole album. I guess we've been able to just kind of connect Leon Bridges' different songs with
different
artists from the old days. Well, let's not pull away from a clip of this song.
Peter.
I want to pull away from you. It's been too long.
So number 9 of 10 is called Twistin' and Groovin'. I felt it was kind of funny because so many songs back in the day of this period were variations of the twist.
Yeah.
but this doesn't really feel like one of those type of songs.
Which is ironic.
Yeah. I did write down that the beginning of the song reminded me of That's It, I Quit, I'm Moving On by Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, because I think it kind of changes tempo after the first minute or so, if I remember correctly. But the beginning of it kind of sounded like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also wrote down lyrically on this song. I found it kind of funny because we mentioned, I don't think it was that long ago, but we were talking about the whole lyrical theme of, like, I met her on the dance floor, mm-hmm. etc. is really, we've previously attributed that to disco songs, which is very accurate. But I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, we didn't bring that up at the time, but I think that was also, that theme was along around, you know, long before then in kind of classic rock and roll, doo-wop, etc. Yeah. So that was definitely, because, like, hearing that type of theme in this sort of soul doo-wop-y song didn't feel out of place. And that made me realize, oh, you know, there actually were songs like that that had that theme. But I guess we just hadn't thought about that, at least when we brought up the whole disco thing.
True. Yeah, the last song on the album, I can't decide between this. Wait, are we out? Did we forget to play Twisted and Groovin'?
We did.
Okay, Twisted and Groovin'.
Sweet little girl from the ninth ward in New Orleans. The way she dances, and you can see her from Tennessee. Up under that red dress, her legs long as the bayou tree.
All right, so now that we've listened to that clip, we can talk about the last song in this album.
See, that River. shows how immemorable that song was. I wanted to get to the last song.
You wanted to drown yourself in a river after hearing Twisted and Groovin'.
Yeah, I really can't decide between this and Lisa Sawyer if this is, like, in my top five of the songs on the album, but I like this one because it doesn't sound like any of the other songs, I think.
Yeah, it did feel a bit different.
It's very much more broken down. It's him and a guitar, you know?
Yeah, because I think as you were talking back to the beginning now, you're saying, like, Coming Home, the first track, felt the most...
It's
complete and produced. This one kind of feels like the most raw.
Stripped down. I mean, this does have a lot of that same gospel feel as Shine.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only one of the only notes I wrote down for this.
Especially, you know, in the chorus with that super reverby, echoey background stuff and the tambourine. But it still feels very stripped down, and I like that. It's almost like if you were to just listen to him in a room with a guitar.
It's a good ending song.
It's one of the few songs that doesn't have organ all over it, too, which I think maybe kind of adds to that stripped-down nature, because organ is very much a product of soul music, because gospel.
I wrote in this one that his voice, the way it sounds in this song, actually does remind me a lot of Bobby Womack.
Yeah, I can see that.
Where I didn't really catch that from any of his other songs, but this one, for some reason, caught me that way.
Yeah, I can see that. Like a more ballady Womack.
Yeah.
I think this probably would be my top five
okay.
off the album. Just because it sounds different than the rest, it's more stripped down, it's still kind of gospel-y, but it sounds a bit more personable, and he sounds like Bobby Womack.
Well, with that, why don't we take you listeners down the river with a very short clip of the river. Or not the river, it's just river.
Surrender to the good Lord, and He'll wipe your slate clean. Take me to your river.
We've already covered all 10 songs from this album. Like we said, it's only 10 songs, 34 minutes. As far as a modern album goes, that's not very long. However, it does... You know, we've been talking the entire episode about how stylistically his songs fit the format of, you know, these older genres. But actually, in terms of the length of the songs, it fits that very closely as well.
Because
a lot of, for example, Sam Cooke, we've mentioned him a bunch of times now. A lot of his songs, on average, they're like 2 minutes, 45 seconds. Like, very rarely does he have a song that goes more than 3 minutes. And these are a little bit longer than that, but not by much. So I think even like in the durations of the songs themselves, he kind of, Leon Bridges kind of matches that old style.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Whereas I would say in like a lot of modern albums now, I mean, probably the average song is almost 5 minutes, and you'd probably at least get one or two that are like 6 minutes.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this before. I think the reason songs were so short back then is just for, they were more, the shorter it was, the more likely it was to get airplay, because back then disc jockeys were like, you know, we got to keep the kids' attention. Mm-hmm. So songs were rarely longer than like 3-3.5 minutes, because they're like, oh, you know, the kids will get bored and change the channel. Which is funny, because then in the 70s, everyone had like, you know, 9-10 minute songs. It kind of went full opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's why it harkens back to that kind of like short, soulful, early to mid 60s kind of style.
So I guess that's kind of a cool little detail that maybe not everybody would pick up on, but we caught it because we're awesome.
Yeah, we caught it because we know about soul.
So once again, this album is called Coming Home. It's by Leon Bridges. You said it came out in June?
June 24th.
Okay, so just over 2 months ago.
I was going to say, we're about 2 months out.
Mm-hmm. You listeners can listen to, like we already said, listen to it on Spotify, on YouTube. They have
music videos.
They have, well, they even have like the actual like track audio.
Oh, there you go.
Legitimately uploaded by, I think his own channel actually even has it all uploaded. So
cool. If you guys want to buy his album, it's on Amazon for like $10 CD.
You can even get the vinyl like Kyle did.
Yeah, it's like $19 for the vinyl. Not bad. I bought it.
For a new vinyl, that's not bad at all.
No, not at all. I was just like, sold.
Because a lot of new albums are coming out, what they're like $30-$40, right?
Exactly. Well, this one, well, sometimes the reasoning for that is because it's a double LP, because they can't fit all the songs on one, but this one, because there's so few songs, they can easily fit it on one.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he's not quite popular enough yet for it to justify a higher price.
Yeah, probably. Good point.
Because, you know, if Daft Punk comes out with, you know, when that one came out 2 years ago,
God, it was on like vinyl,
that was expensive, but, you know, you could charge that and people would still buy it.
Mm-hmm.
If your listeners want us to do any more reviews, and like we said at the beginning, we don't really do them very often. We've probably only done 5 or 6 album reviews ever.
Yeah.
In the course of 128 episodes. But they are kind of enjoyable to do. Mm-hmm. There just isn't a lot of new stuff to review. But if you listeners have any cool ideas, stuff you want us to tell you our opinions of, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. You could also tell us on overmental.com. That's where we post our new episodes. You can also leave comments there for feedback as well. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we are on iTunes. So if you search for Funk Radio under the podcast section, you can subscribe to us there and be one of the many people who are already downloading hundreds of our episodes, which is cool.
I was trying to do the math of 1,400 downloads to 127 episodes and be like, oh, that's like 11 downloads an episode or something.
I think, I mean, like, obviously, like, the really old episodes aren't being downloaded as much, but, like, the more recent ones, I mean, they're getting, I would say, like, 40 to 60 downloads a piece.
Hey, if we can touch 40 to 60 hearts, then I've done my job.
And that's not including the Overmental
community
plays. That's also not including the SoundCloud plays as well. Oh, that reminds me. Find us on SoundCloud as well at soundcloud.com/getyourfunk.
Yeah.
I think that covers everything. So this was a good one. Thanks for the recommendation, Kyle.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thank Amazon. Amazon, they provide us with a haul. Amazon is love. Amazon is life.
So, we will let you listeners be, and you can listen to us again, as you always do, next time on Funk Radio.
Bye.